Hello, everyone. Welcome to the July 3rd edition of the Two Point Conversion, the pre-July 4th edition, where we will be discussing why my new dog won't let that toy go, and you're going to hear that the whole time, so sorry about that, and Jay's 10 Commandments for Cookout, because I don't do cookouts, and we will be discussing the NBA free agency, which... Free is not the word I would be using for what happened.
Definitely not.
Yeah, it's not a free agency at all. And then maybe if we get to it, the top two battles for training camp that we're looking forward to in the NFL. That's Missy, in case you guys want to know. She's not going to – it's a Santa Claus tweaker toy. She's never going to let that go. But as Jay pointed out earlier, at least it's not the fire alarm going off. So, yay. Yay. How are you, Jay?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Are you off tomorrow too?
I am. Wow. I am.
So you right? So what was it, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday? People are off?
I was not off today. I worked today.
What?
Yeah, I worked today. If we so the way it goes, I work for the state of California. So the way it goes is if the holiday falls on a Monday, then obviously I get it off, right? Okay. If it falls on a Sunday, then I get the Monday off. Okay. If it falls on a Saturday, I get the Friday off. Since it falls on a Tuesday, I had to work today.
And you only get the Tuesday off?
Yes. California sucks. It does suck.
If you were listening, yes, we did get the smoke detector fixed. And now I have a new puppy who won't relinquish the toy that she has that you're going to hear squeaking the whole entire time. Tonight and Thursday, you are welcome. At least it's better than the fire alarm.
Welcome, Jamie.
Welcome, Jamie, who... we are always, always, always happy that you join us with your off-putting comments. So what do you want to do first? What do you want to discuss first? Or do you want to discuss something outside that realm before we jump into that? Or are you okay?
No, just kind of going back to your 4th of July comment where I have to work. It does suck because 4th of July is a nighttime holiday, right? Nothing happens until nighttime.
Thank you.
Now my boys are going to want to watch a fireworks show that starts at 9:45. Then I got to have to deal with all of the people, you know, once it's over. It's about 12:30, 1 o'clock before you get back in the house.
Can you watch it from outside your house or do you have to go somewhere?
From my side of my house? Yeah. We can see the street. We can see the street get lit up. Oh, for sure. If we go to my in-laws' house, that's right close to USC, and they have Disneyland fireworks there. So
Disneyland fireworks.
Yeah, it goes down.
So it's like Disney characters that are going up in the sky?
No, I'm saying like their fireworks look like they should be at Disneyland.
Oh.
They have the kind that when the helicopters start rolling by, all of a sudden the fireworks show stop. So, and we usually just sit out on our lawn chairs and just watch them.
So, well, here we had fire. I don't know if we're having fireworks tomorrow. Oh, it's starting to rain too. But here we had fireworks Saturday and Sunday because of the baseball game. The baseball game always has fireworks. So, whenever it falls, wherever it falls during the July 4th weekend, that's when they do it. And my dogs, and I have to say that plural now, don't faze them. Like the fireworks, like I'm two blocks from where they were shooting them off. And the one dog was like pissed because it woke him up and then just went back to sleep. So
4th of July is a nightmare for dogs, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Some guys were illegally shooting fireworks like right across the street yesterday. So I can't even imagine what's going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah. The dogs and the vets, they both struggle equally.
I read something that one of the shelters here, July 5th is their busiest day because dogs run off because of the fireworks on July 4th, and they have this influx of scared dogs because people are crazy and are shooting fireworks off all the time. But anyway, I'm sorry that you didn't get today off. I would have had it off anyway, so I'm okay. But I'm sorry you didn't get today off. Jamie, did you work today? I shouldn't really ask Jamie if he works. I don't even know if he works. But anyway, before we start.
Jamie is a professional.
Man
he's a professional fantasy football player for Underdog. Oh, nice. Did I just lead you into your promo?
You did, and I appreciate that. So, because I'm really, really bad at it. So, you guys, we are sponsored by Underdog Fantasy, which is that lovely graphic underneath us. If you hit the graphic, the little QR code, it will take you right to Underdog Fantasy, or you can manually go to Underdog Fantasy and hit promo code GF2, and you will get a $100 deposit match. And I know that I only speak for myself when I say this, but football season is coming around. You're going to want to jump in and get in on their wonderful games. They have baseball games. They have that 2 million baseball game that I think it's $20 to get in. So if you hit 20, if you pay 20, hit the code, you can play twice or as many times as you like. I'm not that big of a gambler, so I don't know. But I'm going to play once and hope that, you know, once is all it takes. And I would look forward to playing against all of you in this Underdog Fantasy. But like I said, Underdog, not only best ball, they have pick'ems, they have all kinds, and it's all the three letter sports. You can play NHL, NBA, PGA. What am I missing? NFL, PGA, NBA. The Summer League is on now, which Charlotte, shocker, still sucks. Brandon Miller had not the best game, and the French guy didn't play, so it wasn't really that great of a thing going on. What's up, Garrison? I love Garrison.
Garrison, the goat.
He is the goat, right? You guys, I'm going to put Garrison back up there. I don't think his if you're listening or watching at any time, if you play DFS, you need to follow Garrison on Twitter, and you need to watch his show on Going for Two during the season. I believe it's Friday nights, and they do DFS. I'm going to freaking kill my dog before the night's over. Garrison is, like Jay said, Garrison is the goat on DFS. He will not lead you wrong. He will help you win some money, some scrillage, some cabbage, whatever you kids are calling it nowadays. So follow Garrison. This dog is going to be the death of me. During the fireworks, I used to sit in my background backyard in a fire pit, drink beer, and shoot off my guns. Jamie, no one needed to know that, Jamie. No one.
I'll drink the beer part of it. I don't want to give a little commercial there. But.
Shooting off his guns. Jamie, come on, man.
Spoken like a Cleveland Browns fan.
It is. Oh, yeah. The Sunday morning show with Jamie and Garrison. Garrison will lead you to your picks for Sunday morning. So if you get up early, you can listen to Jamie too. And I guarantee you, Jamie isn't as perverted on the Sunday morning show as he is like regularly. I think Garrison makes him like reel it in just a little bit.
Jamie's a lot more tame on the mic. He's a little more bold on the keyboard.
He is, isn't he? Jamie's like, on the mic, he's like, I don't know what to say. And then when he gets on here, he's like, oh yeah, all the girls love me. Because I'm Jamie. So, oh my goodness, this dog wants to make me cry. He really does. All right, so follow Jamie and Garrison Sunday morning DFS. Once the season starts, you won't have that because I don't think either one of them have dogs that are that crazy. And then follow Garrison Friday for his, I'm telling you guys, I listened to his DFS advice, and I'm not lying, last year I won like a grand on FanDuel, which I wasn't even realizing what I was doing. I just put down what Garrison told me to. And then I woke up the next morning, and I'm like, yes! And then, of course, I lost it because I stopped listening to him, but whatever. I didn't stop listening to him. I just stopped following what he said to do, which was my bad. So that's a warning for all you kids out there. Listen to him and keep following him the whole season, and you will win some money. All right, Jay, I'm going to, like, you know me and NBA. Like, I know a couple things that happened, and I love it. But like Draymond Green getting the doing the Warriors a solid and staying with them at a reduced price. I know that, and then I know that the Lakers, your team.
Ooh.
Oh my fucking god! Sorry, the Lakers, your team. Hey, they re-signed some people and they're supposedly good off. So help us. Help me.
Yeah.
Help
me. Help them, Jay. So We'll start off with Draymond. He's the only one that gave a team a discount because everybody else.
Oh my God.
Everybody else got the bag. I'll start off with my Lakers, of course. Not being biased here, but the Lakers had an incredible offseason, in my opinion. I think Rob Pelinka is really, really starting to show his chops a little bit as a GM. So I felt like coming into the offseason, the Lakers wanted to make sure that they took care of Austin Reeves and Rui Hachimura and Jared Vanderbilt. I felt like those three players were critical to the Lakers kind of moving forward. So we did get all of those guys back. Austin Reeves signing a massive, you know, deal, 4 years, $56 million. Not bad for, you know, a guy who everybody didn't even think would make it in the NBA. So now he's well paid.
I have a question first before you go on. Are NBA contracts fully guaranteed?
NBA contracts are guaranteed.
Okay. Continue.
Yes,
sorry.
They are. NBA contracts are guaranteed. We got Rui Hachimura, 3 years for $51 million. People forget that Rui Hachimura is a former lottery pick. So getting these guys in here, we signed Gabe Vincent, stole him from Miami. That was a little bit weird because we turned around and signed D'Angelo Russell. We picked up his offer sheet for, I think it was like 2 years for $33 million on D'Angelo, which is a little weird, right? Because I don't know who's going to start at the point there. Let's see who else got the bag. Fred VanVleet.
Yeah.
Fred VanVleet got the bag. The Houston Rockets are spending money. Fred VanVleet, 3 years, $130 million.
Isn't VanVleet the one who wasn't he undrafted and then he played through the G League and then he had like a down year and then he came up. I kind of like it because he was undrafted and he had to work his way up. So I'm happy.
I don't know if Fred, I can't remember if Fred VanVleet was undrafted, but he's definitely, if he was undrafted, he was underdrafted for sure. Because
yeah, he was undrafted.
So that was a mistake in the scouting department, because when I saw Fred VanVleet at Wichita State, I thought that he was an elite point guard, but that's back then where, you know, mid-majors, that's pre-NIL. Yeah. So there's not a lot of, you know, outside of Shaka Smart, you know, that's all that you knew about VCU, you know, back then. But then Fred VanVleet's always been a very, very good point guard. So I am happy to see guys like that, that scratch and claw, you know, improve their worth. And he got the bag, 3 years, 130. But then they turned around and they signed Dylan Brooks for 4 years for $80 million. And that just goes to prove that regardless of what people say and what people want to believe, the NBA loves guys like Dylan Brooks.
Like Dylan Brooks mean? What does that mean?
You like guys like Dylan Brooks. These are going to be your tough, you know, gritty guys. They're not afraid to mix it up. They're not afraid to get a couple of techs. I think that he went a little bit overboard this year trying to wear the black hat. I don't think that he needs to do that, because I think that he is an okay player. He's an okay NBA player. He's a good, you know, defensive player who can get hot, you know, on any given night. So I think that it's a good pickup for Houston. I wouldn't have paid him four for 80, but hey, it's Houston.
So like the Draymond Green guys, is that what you're saying?
I think that any team, if they want to get serious, you want to have some guys like that. You got to have somebody who, you know, is willing to mix it up, an enforcer, a tough guy,
that's
someone
like
who's going to use.
Theory, isn't it?
I need somebody on my team that's going to use at least four fouls every game. Right. I don't care. Give me four or five fouls every game. That's fine by me. And Dylan
says
Brooks,
you know, someone on your Laker team who doesn't like him.
LeBron. LeBron, if we were talking about LeBron, I mean, that's like, yeah, LeBron James doesn't care about Dylan Brooks. That's like throwing sand at a Mack truck. It is what it is. It's not going to move the needle much. That's probably what got Dylan Brooks paid. That's probably what got him the $80 million. So very calculated move, you know, by him. But shout out to Clutch Sports. I mean, they secured the bag left and right for their clients. So Rich Paul is, you know, that's the man.
Clutch Sports.
I read something that the combined salary was over $1.5 billion or something like that. Something crazy for Clutch Sports clients.
And they get, what, 33 to third of that?
Yeah, so pack the bags right there. Melo, LaMelo Ball goes to back to your Charlotte Hornets. You mentioned the Charlotte Hornets earlier. They gave him the bag, 5 for $260 million.
Summer League is what I guess they call this.
And that one, honestly, I'm a little surprised by that one. Not that Charlotte paid him, but I'm surprised that he stayed.
Why are you surprised he stayed? Do you think because he got more somewhere else?
I don't think, no, he wasn't going to get more. He got the most that he can get from Charlotte. But I think that his star is bigger than camping out in Charlotte. You're talking about a team that's, you know, on the verge of being sold. You know what I mean? They're just, you know, Michael Jordan's going to be selling that team. I think that I thought that he was going to end up in somewhere where big bright lights, Chicago, New York, or someplace like that.
Maybe he stayed for the money, though. Like, the if money's he's going to be more somewhere else, why would you, you know, he's not at that age where it's impending that he gets a title. You know what I mean? Like, he's not at the Chris Paul age.
Right. He's still at the get your money phase. Yeah, I get it.
Money phase. So
yeah, I get it.
I don't think that surprised.
Big baller brand gets 10%. Is that true? Is that still a thing?
It's his dad. How can it not be a thing?
I'm that's a legitimate question. If anybody knows if the big baller brand is still a thing, I'd like to know, because old boy has been quiet. He's been quiet, but he has, you know, I like it though, because I think that he had to talk up Lonzo. That was the only way that Lonzo was going to be number two overall draft. But LaMelo's game speaks for itself, you know, so there we go.
He's being a dad, an obnoxious one, but he was being a dad, promoting his boys and himself. But through himself, he was promoting his boys, so.
Yeah, I always felt like what was his crime, right? Like, everybody hated him for thinking that his three sons were the greatest guys to ever walk on the face of the planet.
He's a dad. That's what dad.
Give me that all day long. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just an active father, you know, cares about his boys. And we can talk about it all that we want, but he got all three of them, got them on an NBA floor. So,
well, that's what it is. A lot. I mean, think of Amon Ra and, you know, his dad. Like, his dad was kind of a quieter bell, but he was still, you know, talking up his sons and
very active. Yeah.
Yeah. He was very, very active. And it just so happens that Amon Ra was just that good. The other one, well, there's two more. One of them is hurt his back or something. So I don't know if he's ever going to play again. But
Amon Ra is really, I saw a lot of Amon Ra when he was at USC.
Yeah.
And he took a significant leap. I knew that he was good. I didn't know that he was that good from what we saw last year. So
I'm going to pat myself on the back because I had to do a rookie profile on him for Gridiron. And I thought he was, like, I had to watch him during the season, his last season at USC. I thought he was that good. I mean, he's, oh, hello. Sorry, dog trying to climb in the chair with me. I thought he was going to be that good. Like, I thought Amon Ra would be the steal of the draft for fantasy.
Wow. And
regular. But, I mean, I also.
Go Gladys.
No, because last year I thought Russell Wilson was going to be that good. And I was, like, on him all the time. And
you were on Russell pretty hard. But Russell Wilson had a lot of people duped, I think. We'll see, right? If Sean Payton can't fix him, then that's going to be a problem.
Well, will it though? Because Sean Payton, I don't even know if it'd be a problem for Russell Wilson. I kind of think Russell Wilson likes now being Russell Wilson more than he likes being the quarterback or a good quarterback. He likes
in a weird way. Russell Wilson is coming into drafts this year a little bit undervalued, where last year he was a little bit overvalued. I think that we want to bet on the pedigree. When you're talking about a player like Russell Wilson, we know what the past has shown us. Maybe last year was a blip on the radar. It's hard to come into a new team, learn a new offense. There was a lot of inconsistency in the offense with the receivers being in and out. Tim Patrick was hurt. Cortland Sutton was hurt. Jerry Jeudy was hurt. So there wasn't a lot of time with his primary receivers there to really, you know, gel with those guys. So now we get him in year two. Let's take a look. We'll see.
So Garrison says they don't like the BBB brand, which, you know, that's legit. I mean, he could have advertised his sons without all the pomp and circumstances around himself. This is true, but, you know, that means
he was over the top. He was over the top with Lonzo, but that was, now looking in hindsight about it, it had to happen. Because Lonzo was going to be the first one to go in the NBA, he had to paint that star like really high, because Lonzo's star was so high. That's what kind of got LaMelo a little bit more traction once he really started to grow. And LaMelo had a major, major, major like growth spurt, both in his game and physically. I mean, the kid grew like 7 inches like overnight and just became a star all of a sudden. I have I got a buddy that used to play in the NBA. A while ago, and he was talking to me about when LaMelo first started ascending up, and he was creeping up draft boards, and I was like, is this real? This is the same kid that we're talking about that we saw together at Chino Hills? And he was like, everything that I'm hearing, he's going to be a lottery pick. And this was before he first started coming in, you know, around that, that hype started coming around him. So, yeah, he might need to stay away from the IG models, but that's true of every man.
Every man, that is true. I totally agree with you. Travis Kelce's downfall, that and when he shaved off his beard and mustache.
What? He shaved his beard?
You didn't see it? Like,
no.
Two years ago, Travis Kelce, for whatever reason, I think he had to break up with his girl, because there's no way she was like, yeah, do that. Shaved off his beard and mustache. What? And he went from hot Travis Kelce to dueling banjos Travis Kelce. Like, it was so friggin' scary.
Wow, but that's a significant break. They were engaged, but that was a fiance. That wasn't a girlfriend.
And how many times has he been engaged? I mean, Travis Kelce, all right, maybe. I don't know. I just know that he shaved it off, and there was a picture. He was unrecognizable. He was unrecognizable. It was like someone said he went from "Who's your daddy?" to "Hey, can I bring your daughter home at 10 o'clock tonight?" It was so bad. It
was I remember a long time ago they said that about. You remember Gordon Hayward from the Utah Jazz?
Yeah.
Back in the day, like he used to have like the long hair and the fuzzy little mustache, had the Adam Morrison thing going on. And then he became like this clean cut with the fade and the trim. And
it was sad. And she broke up with him because he was cheap. Is he cheap? Oh, that's just.
Or maybe he didn't want to spend on her. Ooh.
Well, I mean, she's an Instagram model, for the love of God. Is that, why is that a thing? Why is that Kim? I blame Kim Kardashian for all of that. Why is that a thing? Like, is that your talent, is wearing a bikini and looking good in it? That's not talent, sweetheart. That's I know it's hard work. Whatever. It's hard work. All right. I give you that. But come on.
Is it? Yeah, I guess.
I can't even.
It's hard. I'm sure it's hard work. I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, fucking eat a burger. Eat a piece of bread. I don't know. Eat a piece of chocolate cake. Enjoy yourself.
I just realized that my tag has been backwards all this time. I am not at JBank 727. I am at
727 JBank.
727 JBank, yeah. But anyway.
All right. Were we done with free agency? We weren't done. Are you done? No.
Yeah, I think that's it. I mean, Kyrie resigning with Dallas. See how that goes
James
back
Harden.
To.
Talk to me about James Harden.
So James Harden is, from everything that I hear, is on the trade block. And the names that keep coming up are the Clippers. And there's a rumor that he is heading to the Clippers for a trade involving Paul George, which I think will be foolish of the Clippers to do.
So fly. And I don't even know anything about basketball. All right, here's what I don't understand. He opted in for a $35.6 million player option. So does that mean he gets that money?
It means that he opted in for the contract.
Right. So if they say, so they have to say, we don't want you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it was a strategic move because he doesn't want to be there.
It makes it so it's a strategic move in helping the 76ers if he wants to force a trade because he's going to have a big contract. Big contracts, contrary to popular belief, are easy to move in the NBA, especially one where it's an expiring deal, which is why the Lakers were able to get rid of Russell Westbrook last year because he had that massive $120 million contract that was coming off of the books. And that's how they were able to rob the Minnesota Timberwolves. So it'll be strategic. And James Harden, if he, you know, kind of wants to help the 76ers, hey, nothing personal here, but this ain't working with me and Joel, but you can trade me. And that's how you get into the conversation with the Clippers, with Paul George. So
if he hadn't opted in for the $35.6 million, he would be a free agent?
No.
What would
he had a player. He had a player option.
Right.
And he exercised it.
So what
I don't know. I don't know James Harden's contract. I didn't study that one out. I have to look at that, to be honest with you.
Well, I mean, I don't. So okay, James Harden has a history of making teams uncomfortable if he doesn't want to be there, right? Like he did it in Houston, he did it in Brooklyn. So this is kind of James Harden doing James Harden because he doesn't want to be in Philly.
So let's see here. James Harden has 2 years left on his contract.
Okay.
And he has a player option this year, which his player option is this year, and he exercised it. Yeah.
Okay. I guess maybe what I don't understand is then what is a player option? So what if he didn't opt in for a player option, then where is he?
Then he would be
2 years, right?
No, this is the last year of his contract.
So if he didn't opt in for the player option, he would still have 1 year?
He'd be a restricted free agent this year and then an unrestricted free agent for next year.
Okay. Okay. So by him opting in, he's kind of making Philly choose.
He's taking the max amount of money that's available to him.
Right.
He becomes a restricted free agent, and then any team can offer him. But they're going to – if they lowball him, then all of the 76ers have to do is go ahead and match that deal. So he opted in to take the money. They did. Well, they are. He's going to get $35 million this year.
Do you think the 76ers want him to stay in Philly?
No, I don't.
Okay. All right. I didn't either. So
– but if he's – but think about it from the 76ers perspective. Right?
Okay, right.
You're going to pay $35 million to James Harden or you're going to allow him to go and test the market. If you lock him up, you go ahead and take the $35 million. If you don't want him, you can still trade him. Right?
Right. But what are you going to trade James Harden for?
I think that there's a market for James Harden.
Ooh, okay. I mean, he wasn't really that great in, like, all I saw was postseason again. But he wasn't really that great in postseason.
Well, the NBA changed the rules that directly impacted James Harden with the whole thing with the fouls and, drawing that out. So, anyway, enough about James Harden. You need to shave your beard. You made a promise that you wouldn't shave your beard until you won a championship. I think that you need to go back to the old school clean cut guy.
He said that?
Yeah, that's why he still has the beard.
Ugh, that thing's going to be growing forever.
Yeah.
I mean, that wasn't a really – no. All right, let's talk about Bruce Brown leaving the Denver. Like,
where'd he go? Brooklyn? Was it Brooklyn?
Pacers. He went to the Pacers. During the parade, they were all inebriated, like – so inebriated. But the coach specifically said, Bruce Brown's not going anywhere. Now, granted, he was really inebriated when he said that. Like, I think Malone may have started drinking like the night before and didn't stop until like 2 days after the parade. So he was like on a bender, which rightfully so, deservedly so. He wasn't driving. He was on a parade and people were driving him around. But he was like a pivotal part of that championship run.
Yeah.
Like, I agree with Garrison said. Like, in the NBA, I think depth matters, like, a lot.
Absolutely. And you're seeing that. You saw that bite Phoenix in the butt last year. It's going to bite him again.
Exactly. So him going to the Pacers, which – but he's got his ring now. I mean, he's won his championship. Sure, Pacers are going to pay him. What did they pay him? 2 years, $45 million.
Good bag. It's a good bag because Bruce Brown's a role player.
Exactly.
And he cashed in on a good playoff run. He cashed in on both the shot and the rebound of his career. And, yeah, it's a good bag for him. I mean, the guy averaged 7.1 points per game in 76 games.
Right, but in the playoffs, he averaged 12.
12, yeah.
So do you think that that hurts? Does it hurt the Nuggets more than it helps the Pacers? That's my question.
I think players like that are hard to replace. Okay. When you talk about a young, hungry 3-and-D type player, but I do think that the Nuggets are a well-oiled machine, and they're just going to basically, you know, continue moving on. As long as they have Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray playing together the way that they do, they're going to be fine.
Cash in.
Lana Road.
Lana Garrison, Road. Do you know just like all the IG models? Is that your thing now? Is that where you and Jamie are like – IG model.
Is that another IG model?
I'm assuming.
Lana Rhodes.
I don't know. Let me Google that and see.
I'm scared to Google it. I don't know what'll pop up.
Well, he hasn't said, so I'm going to Google it. And if it is really bad, then I'm going to be really upset with him.
Oh, man. Be careful with that one. He said, don't Google it. Make sure you switch your settings to incognito. It's a family show. This is a family show.
Okay.
While we're drinking beer and talking about IG models. Don't worry, Jeff's at work. He's not watching this.
It's who is the father of Lana Rhodes' baby. So clearly this is someone I need to Google. Oh my goodness. Okay.
All right.
Jamie, I didn't even know they had football on Instagram. I'm not gonna lie. I use it for dog pics. I'm not gonna lie on that either. That is my Instagram go-to.
Oh, so that is an interesting story that Gerson is saying there. That Katie and Blake Griffin were rumored to be the baby daddies. But actually, so she had three of them. She had a little triangle going on of, okay.
Oh, all right. My goodness. Okay, yeah, you did warn me, and I didn't listen to you.
You did warn us.
My phone is like forever. My phone is forever in shock right now. It's not going to survive this. So, okay. You did give me a warning. I'm sorry. Katie and Blake Griffin is like rumored to be the baby daddy of like three different girls. Like, he wrapped that shit up, man. I don't even understand why these as much money as they make. Why aren't they wrapping that up?
I mean, I don't know, man. These guys got to feel like that. You got to know that they're hitting the lottery by getting you to not wrap it up. So.
Who's actually a good stand-up comedian, though? Blake Griffin? Or is he talking about Jamie?
Blake Griffin actually is if that's what he's talking about, Blake Griffin is actually pretty funny.
Really?
Yeah, because he's got that weird dry humor going on where it's kind of not funny, but is. I kind of dig it.
I don't think I've ever heard Blake Griffin say anything.
Yeah.
Much less anything funny. All right. Okay. I'm going to take your word for it because I don't think I want to listen to Blake Griffin be funny because it just makes me sad. He has a couple comedian shows. That just.
That's a long way from jumping over Kias.
Thank you. That's. Okay. Who just said that? Jamie, I'm just like, I'm muting you for that comment alone. I'm just muting you for the Joe Rogan comment. You're muted in my head. And
that should be like in the like top 10 not funny comedians.
Yeah.
I think Joe Rogan. He's going to.
That's. Oh, Jamie. Why do you. I think Jamie just likes making me sad. I think it's just something that he strives for every week. That's great. Thanks, Jamie. Yeah.
Kevin Hart would be in that class too, by the way.
Who?
Just a hot take. Kevin Hart. I don't know if that's class. A hot take or not. Not funny, yes.
No, he's not. He used to be. He used to be before The Rock got a hold of him. He was funny. When he started out, I thought his stand-up was pretty good. But yeah, lately that show he did from his house was really bad.
See, that's Gerson saying what I said at the top of the show. And Jamie comes hard on the comment section, but when he's got the mic, he's a little more tame.
He is a teddy bear in the mic. I don't know what to say.
Anyway. You guys cracked me up. Get into the rules.
Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments of cookouts. All right. If you guys do cookouts,
yeah. Like,
I don't do cookout mainly because I'm a vegan and no one brings vegan food to a cookout.
Right. And that's part of it. It's one of the rules. It's one of the rules.
What's one of the rules? You can't be a vegan?
No. You'll see it when I get to it.
All right. Do the Ten Commandments of your
cookout. Yeah. Rule number one, and this one should be self-explanatory, right? Thou shalt not come empty-handed.
True.
Okay.
All right. Totally. But does alcohol count? Like, do you have to bring food or can you bring a drink? Can you bring
just don't come empty-handed.
Okay.
You gotta contribute to the event in some kind of way. And I don't mean like going to get a little pack of napkins or something like that.
Edible.
Like you gotta bring something that someone is going to actually
consume. Enjoy,
right?
Enjoy or consume, because maybe you don't know
it. Enjoy, consume. That I would say the cheapest thing that you can bring to the cookout and still get away with it is a bag of ice, because we always need ice. All right, that you can never have too much ice.
I agree.
All right, so yeah, no freeloaders on that one. Bring
okay.
something that goes into my stomach.
All right, rule number two.
Rule number two, thou shalt not give tips, advice, or comments to the person manning the grill. It ain't your party. All right? I don't care if you are the cue master with the golden tongs, okay? You are a guest. You do not get to sit there and babysit that person's grill. All right? That will get you kicked out of the barbecue for sure.
All right.
Even if the guy's sitting there burning the food, you're just gonna sit there and peel off the burnt edges.
Burn it?
Yeah, you just gotta do it. All right.
All right. Number three.
Commandment number three. Oh, thou shalt not touch. Yeah, that should be on there. Thou shalt not touch. That is on there. That's to be an honorable mention. Okay.
Wait, touch what? Like the
thou shalt not touch the grill. You should not touch the meat. You should not touch anything. Yeah. Commandment number three, thou shalt speak to everyone. Okay. You're the guest. It's your responsibility to say hello first. I can't tell you how many times, you know, family is hosted like a cookout and somebody brings a friend and you're like, who's that person that came with Tanisha? And you know, it's not my job to go and seek you out and say hi to you. You're the guest. You come say hi to us. All right.
Wait. All right. I have two questions on this one.
Yeah.
So you're saying if I brought someone, they should go and introduce themselves to everyone there.
No, but if you bring them, okay, you got to introduce them. But that guest has to be the one that, you know, says hi.
Okay? Now, if I go to a cookout and there are people there that I really, really don't like, do I still have to talk to them?
Yeah, you got to introduce them to everybody.
Oh, okay. This is why I don't go to cookouts. All right.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm already broken two commandments. Number four.
Already, right?
Yeah.
Rule number four. Okay, commandment number four. Thou shalt not take back what you brought to the cookout. Once it's there, it stays. Okay? I don't care. I don't care if it's getting thrown away at the end of the night. You don't take back what you brought.
So if I bring like a case of Corona and you guys don't touch it, I can't take it back?
No, it stays. It stays.
Okay.
Yep.
I hate these rules.
Yeah. That's why you don't like cookouts. You're the rule breaker right here.
I do not go to cookouts. Okay.
Right? Number five. Commandment number five. Thou shalt attempt to mingle, but don't overdo it. All right? Be yourself.
Don't overdo it.
Don't come with the fakeness. Don't be the Russell Wilson, you know, trying to act, let's ride. You know, don't be that guy at the cookout. What if you bring a girlfriend you don't like and you leave her there? That depends on what the, you know, is it an IG model girlfriend?
When people take stuff back, because I guess what you bought, you got more of it with everything.
Yeah, it's a one-way street. The cookout is that's a one-way street. You don't get to bring back what you can take something else that somebody else brought, you know, if they're trying to get rid of it. And you're like, yeah, I'll, you know, they're like, take it. You take it, but you can't take back your six-pack of Coronas.
Okay, no. So I can take something else someone else bought. Do I have to ask the person whose cookout it is, or do I have to?
At the end of the day, when they're trying to get over, because some of them they're trying to get rid of stuff,
right?
All right, yeah, and they're like, "Here, take this," and you're like, "Okay, if you didn't bring it, you can take it."
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Cookout rule number six: Thou shalt not criticize the selections of meats. If you're a vegan, bring your own. All right, Gladys.
All right, but here's my thing: where am I going to cook it? If I'm a vegan and I bring like vegetables that I need roasting, where am I going to roast them?
Hey, you're going to have to bring your own little snackage.
My little grill too?
Yeah, because it's going to be most mass meat at the cookout, right? Now you might have a good, you know, newer age griller, not the normal caveman guy like Gerson. He might be kind enough to throw some zucchinis on the grill for you and stuff like that.
Okay,
then have at it.
Response: I doubt that that's going to happen.
he's like, what's veggies? Veggies do not belong on the grill. Get those off. He's offended. He's offended by that, right? He's offended by this stuff. Get those bell peppers and zucchinis off my grill. You're taking up the space for the links.
I could have some classic ribs right here. See, this is another reason I don't go to a cookout, because it is mostly, and you have to admit, like 99.9% of people go cookouts are huge, huge carnivores. Like any kind of meat, they'll eat it as long as it's been on the grill and they take it on the grill.
That's right. Gerson, last time he saw plant-based food, I mowed it on Sunday.
All right, whatever, Gerson. Whatever.
Hey, the plants are nice. They feed our cows, okay? We cannot have steak without good plants.
Okay, seven.
Seven. Thou shalt watch your kids or your dogs or your whatever animal you bring. Okay, if you know your kids are badasses, you better watch them.
Kids
are allowed at a lot of cookouts, especially like the family gathering types.
See,
you get one.
I don't go to cookouts.
Little kids. But don't be the only one with kids. Maybe that should be another one there, right? You can't be the only person there with kids.
Show up and you are the only person with kids. Should you just like leave and take your kids back home?
Yeah, it's not gonna work out. You didn't get the memo that it was adults only. That's going to be awkward
for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, is it going to be awkward for the person who allows their kids to run around like they're crazy?
Yeah.
It's going to be awkward for everyone else at the cookout.
For everybody else. Yeah, who's badass kids? Why you the only one to bring your kids here?
Exactly.
That would be my Jace, my youngest one. He's quite the rambunctious one. He's a social butterfly, but yeah, he's definitely the one that I would have to ask if it's okay to bring the kids, because he will set the party off one way or another.
The Samuel L. Jackson.
The Samuel L. Jackson look. Or you can give them the mom at church look. Linda, you better sit your little ass down and y'all do that right there. I can tell you how many times I used to get pinched and like at church while my mom is like smiling through her teeth and like about to cuss me out at the same time.
Yeah. My mom would just take us out. She'd just take us outside.
And just yeah,
you come back with a smile down on her face.
The same one. Oh, the same. That's the same one at the grocery store too, right? Don't get nothing. Don't touch nothing. Don't pick up nothing. Pick so help me God.
Don't say anything. Coming here to get this, and we're leaving.
Leave it.
Now, yeah. They don't know. Yeah.
They don't know. Yeah,
they don't.
Yeah,
know.
The Samuel L. Jackson and the mom look. Ooh. Those are that's top notch level discipline right there.
Yep.
Commandment number eight.
You just said the black mom look.
The black mom look.
Yeah. Because yeah.
Who was that said it? The difference between black moms, white moms get embarrassed by their kids. Black moms embarrass their kids. The Mexican mom that will work too. Then you got that boomerang chocolate going on.
My mom looked at the Mexican store camera and say, smile, act normal. When I get home, I'm going to whoop your ass. Right.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how it goes.
Yep.
How it goes. Commandment number eight. Thou shalt not sit at the dominoes or the spades table if you cannot play. That's a big thing. All right.
Okay, I'm going to say this. I've never been to a cookout that had a dominoes or a spades table.
What?
No.
You're vegan, so that's.
Oh my God. Okay, whatever. Let's keep that in there. You have a dominoes and a spades table.
Man, fights break out. Fights will break out if you play for pride.
Okay.
On the spades table, dominoes might come for money, but spades, man, you better be able to play some spades. And even if you got a bad draw, it's your fault. It is your fault. And if you know how the spades game go, man, when they slap them cards down, whack! I mean, them bad boys just hit the table and they just like spin there, and they know what you're gonna play before you play it. Don't sit down if you're a rookie. The cookout is not the place, it's not the time for you to venture out and learn how to play a new card game. Okay?
Cornhole,
do your research. Cornhole. Cornhole is an up and coming cookout favorite. That one is starting to really ascend up the draft board, I think.
They're hella white. They play cornhole and you know.
Yeah, cornhole is rising up the draft board right there. That one has a rising ADP.
Oh my God, Jamie, you're just ridiculous sometimes.
Yeah, don't play. Don't sit if you can't play for sure.
Okay. Number nine.
Commandment number nine: Thou shalt not get drunk at the cookout.
What the fuck? Why were you having a cookout then?
No, you can't get drunk if you're the guest. Unless you're the crazy uncle, then you have to get drunk.
I thought that was the purpose of a cookout. So what's the purpose of a cookout?
The purpose of the cookout is to get just a little bit tipsy, have a good time, eat,
Define drunk. Define drunk.
You sloppy drunk, throwing up all over the place. People got to pick you up. You're messing up the cookout because everybody's like, who's that girl that Jay bought that's like wasted drunk over there? And like,
So if you can hold your liquor, you're fine.
If you can hold your liquor, that's different from getting you know.
I mean you can still be drunk and hold your liquor, like, never mind.
Thou shalt not don't do what I did in Las Vegas.
Oh yeah,
where I'm calling my co-host bro on the text message.
Yo, bro, I'm like, who are you talking to right now?
And all of the free drinks at the craps table started to add up after a while.
So drunk by, so you can get drunk, but you can't be like sloppy.
You can't get wasted. Sloppy. Yeah, you can't be sloppy drunk, right? You can have a good time.
You have to drive yourself home.
Right. There we go. There we go. Okay. Or at the very least, you got to be able to dial your own Uber. If you can't dial your own Uber or drive yourself home, you've had too much.
Okay. I can abide by those rules.
The final one, and it's probably the most important one.
Okay.
Commandment number 10, thou shalt not overstay your welcome. You got to know when it's time to go.
And how do you know that?
When you start to see people kind of, start to live down and starting to die down a little bit, the food start getting a little bit low. Okay. That's when it's time to go ahead and dip out. Don't be the last one. Because if you're the last one, then you're obligated to help clean up. That's the other part.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, okay. It's going to be a cookout that I'm going to go and go, hey, and then leave anyway, because you're not going to have food for me. And I can't drink if I'm not going to eat. And there's going to be fucking kids that I want to hurt. And so...
And you can't play spades.
I can play spades. I'm not that aggressive with it. Like, it's a game. I'm not that aggressive with it. I can't play dominoes at all. I don't understand them. I don't understand that game. So
what?
Putting numbers. Yeah. Dominoes. No.
Dominoes is fun.
Things I could play. I mean, I'm just not that aggressive person with, I'm not that aggressive person with most games. Let's just be honest.
When the spades game get down, spades, Bitwist, they're all the same thing. Whatever it is, whatever that card game is, can't play. Yeah, he said he's there. You go, G. G's got your back. I'll invite you to brunch.
It'd have to be like a vegan place, but sure. Eat across from people. Like, I mean, honestly, any guy I've ever lived with, none of them ever been vegan. So we just like cook in separate pans and stuff. So it doesn't bother me to be around meat eaters and stuff. It's just I choose not to do it myself.
We'll respect it. We'll respect it. Just
but at some point of cookout, I expect you to have at least a salad or something. Like when I go to my drafts. Like none of these guys are vegans, of course, and they always have salad and like.
Well, you gotta have a salad. You gotta have a salad because you gotta help your system with all of the meat. That's about to get consumed. Yeah, all of that. Yeah.
Okay, that's not even half a vegan because it has bacon in it. So it's not even close. BLT. LT, yeah. What if I eat my steak and it moves? Is that
vegan? Oh, gee, are you one of those guys?
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, I can't do that. I can't do it. I get mine's medium, warm pink. Yeah, I don't like it bloody.
How is that vegan anyway? I don't even understand how that would be close to being vegan.
That's about as carnivore as it gets.
Exactly. That's like
that's awesome. Like Tyrannosaurus Rex kind of like carnivore right there.
Out and like, yeah. No. Geez.
He's medium well. So that's even more burnt than me.
Yeah. I'm going to say this, and it's because I've always worked in restaurants. I don't understand people that eat meat that don't get it medium or lower. Like if you're getting it medium well or higher, you don't really like the meat. You're just eating it because it's there.
I heard that, but if I just put my steak on and go, that's blood, homie. But no, I've heard that. I heard that that's some kind of something in the meat itself that has to do with the breakdown of it once you do it, whatever. I heard that before, but I don't want it. I'm gonna. I gotta get mine's medium. Now, medium Some restaurants mess up a medium real good, though, right? Some restaurants that come back, you tell them medium, and they'll come back with the medium well. It's all dry. It's like there's no pink. I'm like, no, I don't like that.
There was awesome. Sound effect. All right. The 10 commandments of cookouts.
Yeah, that's it.
Five of them I'm probably on board with, you know, but like the other ones, just kind of commandments that I pretty much break daily, I guess. I don't understand. This is why I don't go to cookouts. This is why I cannot even think of the last time I went to a cookout. I'm not really social anyway, though. So
What do vegans call like a vegan cookout? Like, what is that? What is that called? Going to the salad bar.
I don't know. It would still be a cookout. It just would be a cookout without meat. Yes, of course, Garrison. You can add your one commandment.
My wife flirts with her vegan side. Now she's implemented that we have one vegan meal once a week.
Vegan or vegetarian?
Vegetarian. I should clarify that, right? Because vegan means no animal products.
Yeah. Vegetarian.
So we'll have one meal, and we'll have at least one meal once a week where there isn't any meat on the plate, which is okay.
what's your main dish usually then? Like eggplant or the sheep?
Yeah, it'd be something like that, or like a pasta, like some kind of pasta or something like like that. Yeah.
So, I can't believe that. That's a good thing. That's a good thing for your family to do that.
It's not too bad.
No,
I'm just all jokes. I don't care about vegans. It's all jokes.
This is literally why I don't tell people I'm a vegan, because people get weirded out. They're like, oh my God. And it's not really, I mean.
Well, it's because a lot of vegans are very like, you're a caveman. You still eat meat? It's like. It's like 2023. You still eat meat? How uneducated are you?
Oh, I'm so the opposite of that. I don't really care what you do to your body, as long as it doesn't infringe on mine. Okay, Garrison's one commandment. Thou shalt still bring something, even when you're asked, can I bring something? And they tell you, no, just your presence is enough. What white people in Utah say.
You still bring something. See, G knows. He knows. You cannot go empty-handed. You cannot. Even if they tell you, no, we got everything that we need. Okay, you're going to have something else that I bring that you don't need that somebody else is going to take home because I can't take it back.
What if someone says you're going to a cookout? Say you go to a cookout tomorrow, 4th of July cookout, and they're like, oh, no, we got everything we need. What are you bringing?
They don't have everything.
What are you bringing?
They don't have everything. Bring some kind of dessert. Bring some beer, bring some ice, whatever. You got to bring something.
She wants to go to your cookout.
I will be honoring the rules this week. I'm visiting the cookout. So I will be making sure that I do not come empty-handed tomorrow to the cookout that we are going to.
Do you know what you're bringing?
I'll have Nedra probably... My wife's a pretty good, she's a pretty good cook. Like, she likes to whip some stuff together. Let's probably have her bring some.
Bringing stuff isn't a thought out plan. It's like, we'll just bring, you think of it that day. Like, it's not like, I'm gonna.
That's up to you. That's up to you. That's how you want to do it.
Well, I mean, yeah, because I would have to bring alcohol. I bring alcohol everywhere.
Nobody's gonna turn down alcohol at the cookout.
No one's gonna turn down alcohol anywhere. No. Anytime I go anywhere, that's what I'm bringing. I'm bringing a bottle of something or beer because that's everyone drinks.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I would never kick you out of my cookout, Garrison. You bring your sandwiches. You bring your own, like, dead animals to eat. I don't care. You eat what you need to eat. But, you know, bring, like, some tequila or something, so... Can drink away that.
You want You want to talk about these training camps real quick? Do we have time?
Probably not.
Probably not.
Yeah, go ahead. What are your two training camps that you're looking forward to?
Oh, how about you go one and I'll go one.
Okay. I am looking forward to Atlanta Falcons training camp to see where Cordillo Patterson will end up, because I know that it's going to be a two-way between Algier and Robinson.
Bijan, yeah.
Yeah, so Patterson's kind of like the odd man out. So is he going to go back to returning kicks only, or, you know, are they going to somehow throw him in the passing game? Although Robinson is capable of doing that too. So I'm just looking training camp and preseason to see what they do with this three-headed running back that they have.
That they created for themselves, this problem exactly. That they have there. I think that Cordell Patterson has proven that he's some player that you have to get the ball. I think that they'll find ways to get him the ball. He can be your gimmicky player. I honestly think that the odd man out is going to be Algier. I think that Bijan's going to get all of the work.
You're going to have the young man who broke your rookie running
back.
He
didn't break it because of his talent. He broke it because the Atlanta Falcons were the most run heavy team in the NFL because they played Marcus Mariota. They played Marcus Mariota as quarterback. So of course you're going to run the ball.
But Marcus Mariota was like the second leading rusher on that team. They don't have that anymore. They don't have Marcus Mariota. And I don't think Desmond Ritter's going to run as much. So I can't see them sitting Algier.
I didn't say sit him. I think that he's going to be the one who suffers the most. I think that Cordell's going to get his touches and Bijan's going to be the man. I think that Bijan has a good chance to be the offensive rookie of the year.
Okay, who's yours?
So I'm going to take another running back one, two. Quarterback is easy, right, because we can go into San Francisco, Brock Purdy versus Trey Lance. Right. But I want to go to something a little bit spicy. I want to talk about that Seattle backfield with Ken Walker and Zach Charbonnet there. I just think that that was a punch in the gut to Kenneth Walker owners.
Yeah.
I own a share of Kenneth Walker in Dynasty, and when they drafted Charbonnet, I literally wanted to throw my beer at the computer screen because I don't see – I've watched Charbonnet play a lot at UCLA, and I don't really see where Kenneth Walker is that much better than Charbonnet. Charbonnet's bigger. He's 6'1", 220. Ken Walker is 5'9", 210, something like that. Charbonnet was active in the passing game. We've never seen that from Ken Walker. We didn't see it when he was – I think he started at Maryland. Did he start at Maryland? I think he started at Maryland. Yeah, he started at Maryland. Somebody can check me on that. He started at Maryland and then transferred to Michigan State. Or was it Wake Forest? I think it was Wake Forest. And then transferred to Michigan State. So they haven't really asked him to be a pass catcher much. Neither did Seattle. And so I think that both of those guys are going to kind of hurt each other's value a little bit. What I want to see in a training camp, though, is I want to see where the Seattle Seahawks commitment is to. Is it to Walker? They did give him the draft capital for a running back. They gave him the draft capital last year. He did play well. And I just kind of want to see if they're kind of shifting more towards the 49ers mindset that can support multiple running backs in their backfield. So I think that one's an interesting one for me.
The only problem is I don't trust Seattle Seahawks training camps, or I don't trust Seattle Seahawks. I don't trust Pete Carroll until the season actually starts. Like, I think that he's that guy that last year, it's a quarterback battle, and he knew all along that he was going to play Geno Smith. He's the quintessential coach speak person. And
I mean, Zach started at Michigan.
Wait, who? What are we talking about?
Yeah, Zach. Zach Charbonnet, he started out in Michigan, but he finished his career at UCLA. The last 2 years where he became relevant was at UCLA. I know he did have 11 touchdowns. I know he had like 10 or 11 touchdowns that first year at Michigan. Is that what we're talking about? Charbonnet?
You've just been disinvited to Garrison's cookout, though.
Garrison, I'm an L.A. guy. All right, so I'm going to be an L.A. homer. Zach Charbonnet is a UCLA Bruin, all right?
Okay. All right then. I don't agree with Garrison's percentages at all.
65 Bijan, 15 Algier, 10%.
No, 65 Bijan, 15 Algier, 10% Cordell, I'm guessing, and 5% Desmond Ridder. Charbonnet couldn't beat out snaps from Haason Hawkins and Chris Evans, so he had to move schools.
Okay. That's fine. The guy had 1,300 yards rushing and 14 touchdowns last year. So good move. Got him in, got him drafted.
Draft capital. It's all about what have you done lately for me. All right. So we have slightly gone over time, which kind of makes up for the time that we went under time.
Yeah, we started a little bit late, right?
Yeah, it all works out. Thank you, G. Thank you, Jamie, for joining in on the chat. Thank you, others, for who are listening in but didn't join in on the chat. We still love you. If you, again, if you are going to play any kind of DFS betting of any type, Garrison is your man. Check him out. Check Jamie and Garrison out Sunday mornings on the Going for Two Network for their advice on both redrafts and DFS, so you'll know how to play. Jamie is going to this Thursday join us for the In No Particular Order podcast, where we will be mock drafting superheroes.
Ooh, you guys have those are like the best. I love those. I'd be like sitting in traffic watching those drafts. Oh man, those are amazing. Those are hilarious.
Superhero drafts. Superheroes this week, and then 2 weeks later we're going to do super villains.
Oh so, yeah. Ooh, those are two good drafts.
Way to go, Jamie. Then Jamie will be joining.
Appreciate it.
He will be on the face. He will be facing you. So we'll see if Jamie can bring all this swagger that he has in the chats onto the show. Jamie, we're looking for that swagger this Thursday. We will see you this Thursday at 7 p.m. And Jay and I will be back in 2 weeks.
Couple of weeks there.
Kyle. But in a couple of weeks, we will be back and probably talking, I don't know, 10 commandments of something that Jay's thought up. Cookouts will be over. It'll be summer. It'll be midsummer.
Midsummer, yeah. You're getting right into the swing of draft season around that time.
Yep. Wait. Oh, fantasy drafts.
Yeah.
Fantasy drafts. This is true. I have a draft the 31st. I think I have a draft before the 31st. But I have a draft 31st for best ball. So if anyone wants to give me some best ball.
I prefer to draft as late as possible. But some people get a little antsy and they start coming up in that last week of July, first week of August. My rule of thumb is if it's before the Hall of Fame game, it's too early. Unless it's a dynasty league. But
I might be wrong, but I think the Scott Fishbowl, I think the drafts are mid this month. I think they're around the 9th of July. And so, we'll see how that
goes. But he's got a lot of them to get through, so I can see that.
Well, I mean, I think they're 8-hour, the slow drafts anyway, which I am part of. I did already, James. I joined it, I'm pretty sure. Jamie, if you get in there and I'm not in there, let me know. But I think that I joined it. Jamie and I are in the same league in the Scott Fishbowl draft. We're in the Oreo division. Why? Because Oreo are vegan cookies, baby. And my challenge is eat a pack of double stuffed Oreos through the draft, which it's an 8-hour draft, long draft. I will have one finished before the first round. I'm not
Oreos are disgusting. I hate the I scrape off all of the cream in the middle and just eat the cookies.
Are you kidding me?
It's like,
why do I talk to you?
It's like water, wax, and sugar.
And you're saying that like it's a bad thing? I think that's like the best thing. Mega stuffed Oreos are the way to go. All right, James. All right. I have with Brian, I have double stuff with you. We'll do mega stuff. I can do both. I'm not scared. They're Oreos. I can eat like a friggin' sleeve in like 5 minutes. I love them.
Yeah.
No matter what Jay says, they're like yummy goodness in my mouth. Never Enough is my sleeper handle, Jamie. So I should be in there let me know if I'm not. I'm drafting in the sixth position. So the sixth position should be taken. Boom. All right, everyone. We appreciate
you. Be safe out there, everybody. Don't blow up any fingers.
Do not blow off any fingers. Do not blow off someone else's fingers. And remember the dogs and the cats in your neighborhood when you're setting off fireworks, because they hate it a lot.
And don't touch that man's grill.
And don't touch that man. And bring something.
For crying out loud.
For crying out loud. All right. We'll see you guys later. Thank you. Bye.
Peace out.